Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Everybody ready for rally day? Good, good. Because we got lots of stuff for you today. There we go. Everybody scoot in. We're going to have a crowd today. That's great. All right. Come on in. Find you a spot. So, rally day. Fancy word, rally, right? Anybody have an idea what it might mean? Well, I've heard it all my life because I've been through lots of rally days, but I had to look it up myself and just to kind of see. I had an idea in my mind, but I wanted to make sure. And rally means a calling together or a renewing of something. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good name for a day like this. It's calling all you guys together, and let's have some fun, right? Okay? But there's a challenge in it, and I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But first, I want to show you this. This is my babies, okay? We used to play marbles when we were little, okay? And what you would do is you draw a circle in the dirt, or you'd have a circle or draw it with chalk on the sidewalk. And then you'd throw the little marbles out into that circle. Now, the whole idea was then to use your big shooter marbles to knock them out. And the last person to knock the last one out won. Now, if you can imagine, you could play this game by yourself, but imagine how much more fun it is if you had more people. Okay? And one thing about it, you have maybe had some special marbles like this is a Steely. That was a hard one to find. Okay? But the one thing in all that packet that was most important were the shooters. They kind of became special to you because you started to trust it, and it became the one that you wanted the most. And you always could trust it to make a good, even shot and hit that marble just right and knock it out. So, if you finished the game and you walked off and you got home and you opened your bag up and you found that one of the little ones was missing, would that seem that important? It could be if it was really, one of the more
really important to me because it would be very expensive.
Yeah, it might be one of the more expensive ones, but most of the time you could go down to the store and get the little ones. But the shooters, now that was another story. They were special. Okay? One, you trusted it. And you knew it was your special marble. And I guarantee you, if I left a little marble in that circle and went home, I might have thought about going back. But if I left my shooter there, I would have run back to get it. And I mean run back to get it. That's why I have three of them. Because I have three special ones. And I guarantee you, they're all special. Okay? So what has that got to do with Rally Day? Well, let's look at our psalm, and that'll tell us. Verse 37, "Turn my eyes from watching what is worthless, and give me life in your ways." I like the word watching, because today we watch a lot. We watch TV, we watch our phones, we watch our pads, And sometimes we think that that's the most important thing. But I just got from my brother who passed away my family Bible. 100-year-old Bible. And I guarantee you, I brought it home. I was taking really good care of it, just like my shooter. See, the challenge of Rally Day is we're going to have fun today. We're going to have games and everything. But we're doing a little something different today. You're going to get to meet some Bible people, some characters in the Bible. Okay. And that's what's the challenge of Rally Day, is to have every Sunday be a Rally Day. The gospel says we're two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. So we could do it with two or three people. But imagine how much more fun every Sunday would be if all of you were here today like this and everybody was playing the game. It'd be a lot more fun, wouldn't it? And I guarantee you that Bible, that 100-year-old Bible, still has these characters in it. And these characters are very, very special, and they are priceless like the shooter. So I hope you managed to come every week and be part of our rally every day. Okay? Now, we're going to do our prayer, but then we got something special to do. I want you to stay put, because we're going to get all the other camp boys and girls that went to camp and all the other people that were at Bible school that maybe are still out there to come up, and then the congregation is going to help us sing one of our songs that we sang at Bible school, okay? All right, but let's do our prayer first. Dear God, help us to remember that every Sunday is a rally day, and that every day you're waiting for us to tell us wonderful and marvelous things, special things that are not worthless but are priceless. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Okay, so I want you to stay put, because we're actually going to do that song where we divide up, and we're actually perfect right now. You're going to stay on that side, and you're going to stay on that side. All other camp people, all other people, all other boys and girls that were at Bible school, come on up too. Help us sing the song. All right, let's put you on that side. You three stay on that side. You three go on this side. And you come over here. All right. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you have this in your bulletin, okay? And you will notice that there's a first verse, a second verse, and then on the third time through, you get to choose. So here's what we're going to have you do. On the third time through, we would like this side to do verse 1. And we'd like this side to do verse 2. Okay, so we're going to do verse 1, everybody, verse 2, everybody, and then the third time through, your verse 1, your verse 2.
At the same time.
Believe it or not, it comes out like a round. Okay? One side just goes a little faster than the other. All right. Are we ready there, Pastor?
Yep, we're ready.
Words are over there. I'll get out of the way. Yes. You can go on back now.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you've recognized, it is rally day. We've got things going on here in church, and then after church, we've got lots of other things. We've got games going on and a meal going on and Sunday school and activities and all that going on just to get us together, to get us started for the new year of Sunday school and the Christian Ed programs here at the church. Christian Ed is one of the most important things that we do around here because it is through Christian Ed then that we start to learn about who God is and what Jesus has done for us and about the church and all these other things. And we start young. We start with little bitties and move on up through elementary school and junior high and high school. And it doesn't stop. You know, there's a kind of a misnomer or practice that, you know, once you go through Sunday school and after you go through that extensive program of confirmation program and you are confirmed, well, you're done. You graduate. You don't have to learn anything else. You don't have to come and participate anymore. That's a misnomer because with Christian education, it continues for a lifetime. We do have adult groups that meet here. We have an adult Sunday school class. We've got the women's Bible circles that still meet on a regular basis. And every once in a while, we also have some extra Bible classes or studies that we go through. And so Christian education is a lifelong thing. But it doesn't just happen here at church. Hopefully, Christian education is going on at your own homes. You know, at the baptism, this morning and at all baptisms, then, one of the gifts that we give to parents or to the child that's been baptized is a new Bible. To be able to start to be in that Word very early. The Bible, those children's Bibles that we give at baptism, then, make good story times at bedtime when you're putting a child to bed or at any time during the day. You can read those Bible stories, and it's important that children start to learn just the basic stories within the Bible, the story of creation, or the story of Noah, the story of the Israel, or the Hebrew people, and Moses, the Hebrew, the stories of Jesus and his disciples, all the stories of the healings and the miracles that Jesus did, the story of the cross and the resurrection, the story of the ascension, and the story of the new church as it started to grow in the New Testament. Kids need to know those basics. They need to know those stories and be familiar with them because they're great stories. Just in themselves, they're just great stories to hear and learn because that then starts to build the curiosity. God's Word is so important for our lives. It is the basis of who and how we believe. It's the basis of our faith. It's where we get that information from faith. The Holy Spirit leads us as we read scriptures. I know that every time I read through a passage, and I may have read a certain passage 25, 30 times, each time there's something new that pops out that passage. It's always intriguing. It's always engaging. It's always drawing. There's several things we need to think about when reading Scripture or what Scripture does for us. This morning I'll be looking at the Psalm and what that says, and it'll help lead us into how we approach Scripture and how important Scripture is for us. I'm not going to go through all the verses of the Psalm because actually Psalm 119 has 176 verses. But I think we will be looking at most of these verses that we read this morning. Okay, so verse 33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end." One of the first things we need to do as we approach Scripture is to admit that this is the Word of God. You know, how else do we know who God is? Here's the psalm writer here, and he's pleading to God, "Teach me. I need to know your Word. I need to know who you are and what you'll have for my life." And so we have to admit that there is a God. there is a God, and that the Holy Scriptures that we read, the Old Testament, New Testament, are His Word. That's what He has for our lives. It tells the stories of faith and how God has interacted with the people throughout history, but it also has messages for God's will for us. It applies to us. This is the Word of God. We have to admit to that. You know, I think every human being, there is an aspect of spiritual. There's always a longing to know who God is and what God wants for them. Whether they're Christian or Buddhist or Islam or any other religion, there's that spiritual element within people because God created us in His image. He put that spark within everyone. And whether or not people recognize it or whether people recognize it as true, it is there. Even atheists have it, or even agnostics have it. There is a longing to know who God is. As Christians, what defines us is that what is true about God is what is in Scripture. That's the basis of our faith. That's the foundation where we go to within our faith. And so first thing is we admit that, yes, this Bible is what we believe. We believe that this is the Word of God. Here in verse 34, it says, "Give me understanding that I may keep your law. I shall keep it with all my heart." Okay, so first we admit that, yes, the Bible is the Word of God, and that is the true Word of God, not the other religion's literature or not the other religion's teachings, but the Bible is our basis. That's what we believe. But here it takes another step then. Okay, we not only have to admit it, but we have to understand it. We have to gain in wisdom and understanding, and that's where we are with Christian education, is building and teaching and learning and growing in our knowledge and understanding of what Scripture is about. And gaining then that message. What is God's will for us? How will God have us live? And how are we to live within our hearts? To understand what God is saying to us. And then verse 36 and 37, "Incline my heart to your decrees and not to unjust gain. Turn my eyes from watching what is worthless. Give me life in your ways." Okay, so we take another step forward here. Not only do we admit God's word, that Scripture is God's word and that's God's message to us, not only do we start to gain in wisdom and understanding and see what God wants for us, now comes the hard step. And that is to submit to God's word, to say, "Yes, Lord, I am going to give up everything in my life to come follow you, to follow what Scripture says for me." You know, there's a lot of times in Scripture or within our lives that we don't understand what God is doing. And we think, "I know better. I know better than God, so I'm going to make my own decision on what I'm going to do." Even if it is contrary to Scripture, even if it's contrary to the teachings of the church, I know better. But that doesn't work out very well. Most of the time, that just does not work out very well. We have to submit to what God says. If this is our guiding principles, it is what's said in Scripture, how the Holy Spirit leads us in interpretation of Scripture, we need to submit our lives to that. And that's hard, because when we don't, that's when we get into trouble. That's when sin creeps up into our lives. That's when the ugliness that we do see in our lives crawls in. That's when we are not happy. That's when we do not have joy. That's when we do not have peace, is when we say, "I'm not going to submit to this Scripture. I'm not going to submit to these teachings." And our lives are in trouble. But there's hope. If we look at, I'm going to skip to 39. It says, "Turn away the reproach which I dread, because your judgments are good." Here the psalmist is saying, I do not always submit. There's a lot of times I make my own choices, and because of that, I am a sinner. I do sin, and I am a sinner. And he feels that within his life. And he knows God's judgments are good. What God demands on from us is good. When we disobey what God commands, God's judgments are good. They're true. They're realistic. But sometimes they are very harsh. Because to turn away from God means that we are turning away from life. We are turning to death. And so here he says, repent. Or he says, turn your eyes from watching. Turn away the reproach which I dread. Rather, he's asking for forgiveness. That we do need forgiveness. Because we are not perfect. That sin creeps into our lives and we turn away from God. So we ask for forgiveness. This morning is one of the best passages in the gospel lessons, gospel writings, about forgiveness and how we are to forgive one another. Not only that God forgives us, but that we too are to forgive one another. Here the psalmist is asking for forgiveness because he knows he has sinned. And then if you look at verse 38, fulfill your promise to your servant, which you make to those who fear you. And verse 40, behold, I long for your commandments in the righteousness to preserve my life. In verse 38, he says, fulfill your promise. And God gives us the promise. He gives us that promise through Jesus Christ. As we learn Scripture, we learn that story of Jesus Christ, of how God emptied himself, came into this world as Jesus Christ. He relinquished all that power that he had but at the same time was God, but he was also human, took on human flesh. He became one of us. He emptied himself. He gave it up for us. And he went to the cross. He died and rose again. We have that promise that he gives for eternal life. He gives us that promise that we will be raised with him once again. And there's one more thing to be looking at when we come to Scripture. And that is that we do transmit it to the rest of the world. It picks it up here in the psalm then too, within some of these verses. The end of verse 1 says, and I shall keep it to the end. Verse 2, or verse 34 says, I shall keep it with all my heart. Verse 35 says, for that is my desire. When something good happens to our lives, we have to tell it to other people. We want to share with other people. The last command that Jesus gives to us is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. This isn't kept. Christian education is not just for our congregation. Christian ed is not just for that personal person who is being taught. It's not just for that one child who is learning his or her Bible stories. Christian education is so that people learn to be Christians. They learn what Christianity is about. They learn what's within Scripture. We learn how to live with one another. We learn how to give thanks and praise to God. But we also learn to spread it, to send it out into the world so other people can also look at Scripture, so other people can come to understanding, so other people can admit that God is God and this is Scripture and submit to God with their lives so that they too may come and follow Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.